Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah. This is Tech Talk. All right. Yes, it is. This is Tech Talk. Believe it or not.
Oh, please turn down my headphones.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm telling you. They're insane.
My mic isn't on, I don't think.
No, you know, I guess, I don't know if it's the master control. I don't know what's going on. Hey, yeah. We've got insane. Here we go.
Testing. All right. Is that me?
It's somewhere in there. We're having lots of fun this morning, as you can hear, as usual.
Check.
That's Dave.
Thank you.
Sparky Saganaki checking his microphone.
Check. I'm here, honest.
You got Michael Tech Talk Castler sitting. I've only got one ear today, so I'm unhappy about that. This is throwing me off. It's throwing me off.
Hi everybody.
Oh my,
welcome to the program.
Goodness, yes, we've got the usual start. Good morning.
We should start off falling down the stairs. It's sort of like Fibber McGee's closet. You know, of course, most people are not.
Yes.
What that was.
So I hope that people didn't tune in expecting a highly professionally produced.
Nah.
You get what you pay for. That's all I'm gonna say.
If only we did.
It's gonna be a great show though, regardless of our ongoing technical issues and difficulties. We've got a ton of news that happened this last week. We're gonna have a little bit of a late start for Jay Garman, but he's gonna come on and join us and answer our last week's question, which we did get a chance to post on
Facebook.
It's gonna
be a late start, but we'll be elated to have him.
That's absolutely. Nice way to do it. I like that. Well played, my friend. We'll bring him on, and then I'm going to make absolutely 100% sure we've got time for cool sites.
I've got one today. I've actually got a cool site.
Oh, this is a special.
I never have cool sites. I've got one. Probably not that cool, but
yeah. I you know what? Every time you've brought one, it's been outstanding.
Oh,
so I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah.
I think that's something to keep our listeners around while we put up with some of the some of the other stuff we're dealing with. Maybe they'll stick around for that. So it's good stuff. Like I said, though, tons and tons of news this week. I don't even know where to begin. With Apple stuff, with porn sites hacked. You didn't hear about that. You must not be an aficionado. Well, I guess
let's just say I have another supply stream.
let's not go down that path. I think we got enough of that last week. One of the world's top porn sites called digitalplayground.com was recently hacked by a hacking group with the moniker of the Consortium, and I've never heard of them before.
I like that name.
That is kind of nice. Yeah. That is now they're black hat hackers, obviously, because they've actually hacked into a website, taken it over, pulled information from it. They've gotten access to what they claim is 40,000 credit card numbers and 72,000 usernames and passwords.
And no one's complaining, right?
Oh yeah. Fortunately, yeah. No one's peeping up about this. It is kind of a big deal. I'm also not involved in the porn world here. But if you do have an account out there with it, you'll want to take some extra special security measures and safety measures and change those passwords. Apparently, the Digital Playground kept all of their information in plain text. Talk about having holes, you know, in your security system. That is, it. I don't know, but you got
bump bump. Where's the? I got a drum roll somewhere.
You know what? I probably have one. I could load up here somewhere. I don't know.
So if you can't count on your smutty website, who can you count on? It's a sad commentary.
Eggs. Oh, here it is. There we go. I knew I had it.
A rim shot.
Yes, I knew
a
I had
rim
it.
Shot. Great.
So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. But it really just highlights the fact that you got to have unique passwords out there for any of the sites that you use. And you got to be extremely,
especially for your porn.
Keep that stuff on the DL, man. Just, you know, you can't be reusing and using your passwords. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I keep getting hit up from different companies wanting to have me promote their password bank software and all this. And I haven't had them on because, quite frankly, I'm not willing to try some of these other ones. I am so entrenched in what I use, which is KeePass. And I love KeePass. KeePass is a free application. You can download it and install it. I use it in combination with Dropbox, and it synchronizes my password database across all of my devices when I need it. And it's got a master password, so even if I lose my devices, people can't easily access it. And then it stores all of my current passwords. That takes a little bit of effort. It takes some thought. I have to remember, I'm signing up on this website. I'm going to give it some completely unique password, and then I'm going to go in and enter it in KeePass. So it's not as slam dunk, easy peasy as some of the other ones that I've seen out there, but I kind of like that because it's a little bit of a tingle and a reminder to me that I need to be careful with those passwords.
By all means.
So keep an eye out.
It's a shame there's been yet another data breach, but it seems like they slowed down a bit. A year or so ago, they were every week there seemed like a major one, but lately things have slowed down a bit.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that is a good sign. It sounds like, security levels are getting a bit higher. Although Google put out a Google Chrome, hack invite basically where they had a couple of days of people having access to the Google Chrome, the newest version of it. And they said, we'll give you $1 million if you can hack it. Well, guess what? 2 days later, Google's out $1 million. Google Chrome got hacked at the hack convention, and so that's water under the bridge. I guess it's worth the money to them though, because they can now fix that problem and move on with a.
I'm guessing that's not the way they planned it.
No, definitely not.
So speaking of hackers, another big piece of news earlier in the week or late last week, Anonymous, the hacking group, got smacked around a little bit.
Yes, and there's a local tie-in to that too.
Yeah. Well, it was a great line from a guy's mom. I don't have the information in front of me.
Jeremy Hammond,
the guy.
Chicago-based Anonymous hacker, not so anonymous anymore.
Well, DuPage County, then now he's back, and they moved back into the south side of Chicago.
Yeah,
but his mom said he's got. He's a genius, but with no wisdom. You know? She called him, at first. She said he was a genius with no brains. So
yeah. That kind of sums it up. I believe it. In fact, the descriptions of when he was pulled from his apartment said he was absolutely shell shocked. How clueless?
Denial.
Yeah.
Well, especially I think Is it a coincidence that after they hacked a FBI Scotland Yard phone call, conference call, and ticked off Scotland Yard and the FBI, and like a month later they're in jail.
So. Yeah. Well, and they also nailed Stratfor, which was a major security company.
Right.
But they
did that a long time ago.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
It was a while back. But like. Suddenly, after they embarrass the FBI overseas, they're in cuffs.
Yeah. Well, and apparently though, this has been a long time in the planning. The one of the top people in the Anonymous group or with Lulzsec is Hector Monsegur, and he was known as Sabu, who then actually assisted.
Wasn't he the real Sabu or something? No, seriously, he had some kind of a little bit of an extra, you know, this, Sabu wasn't the I think it was the never mind.
The real I don't know.
Me either. I read this like a week ago when they were first arrested.
Could be. But he apparently Sabu, the FBI is describing him as your ideal informant, in that he not only did he provide them information, but he acted as a bridge, as an interface for the FBI to gather ongoing pieces of information and intelligence about what was happening in these groups for quite some time. And he handed over transcripts of chats. He worked late hours every evening getting in deeper and deeper with the hackers that he knew to get personal information that could be used to identify them and lead the FBI directly to their houses and nab them.
Geeks aren't that tough when you put handcuffs on them, apparently.
He folded like a... I don't know what, but yeah.
Like a balsa wood deck chair.
Exactly. Sabu, Hector Monsegur, he gave it up. He gave it up quick. Now, you know, of course, he's himself, Hector, is on tap for up to 124 years of federal prison.
Oh, man.
So there's some presumption.
Yeah, I'd be singing like a canary, too.
Exactly.
124 years. What do you want to know?
Exactly.
I'll tell you everything.
Now, that's one thing interesting.
I'll find it out. I'll get him. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. 124 years.
I've got a life. I'm a young man. And that's the thing with this Hammond guy, who is a Chicago character. You know, my first thought when I heard this was, you know, yeah, young guy. You know, he's 27 years old. I was thinking, well, it's his first run in. You know, this he just is completely clueless as to what the results could be. He did an 18-month stint in federal prison for exactly this activity just a few years ago, and he did.
Yeah, who did he hack in that case? I forget.
He got like 5,000 credit card numbers from Protest Warrior, which was a politically conservative activist site. And what his plan was to take those credit cards and start making a bunch of donations to liberal sites.
He
never got around to it, and then he got busted.
The money. Well, it was something similar. They were stealing credit card information, and they wound up keeping like $700,000-$800,000, something like that.
Exactly. So
the guy had dreadlocks, white guy with dreadlocks, I think. So,
exactly. Wannabe. So he's you know, but it's I'm sure that'll.
I'm guessing in jail he's gonna get.
That'll go well. That'll go well for him in jail. Yeah. he's a good looking guy. He's gonna do well. He's gonna find a place for himself very quickly.
Well, you know, unfortunately. The internet kind of encourages, you live in a kind of a fantasy world disconnected from reality a bit. And so, I think he spent a year and a half in jail. You would think that would, you know, that would remind him that there are consequences for doing this kind of thing.
Well, yeah, that's exactly my thought. Is, you know, once you've spent some time, you're thinking, well, maybe I need to, you know, shape up a bit. You'd hope that would be the result of incarceration, is that it wouldn't lead to ongoing recidivism, but it would lead to rehabilitation. You know, but what you've got is you've got a guy who's a recidivist. He's going to continue repeating the same crimes over and over again. What do you do with him? You know. Now he's going to be in jail. And I know we're on a completely different topic now, but now he's back in jail again. What is he going to do there but learn better ways to not get caught next time? Or just spend his time and then get out and say...
Well, he's going to be isolated. They're going to be isolated from toys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just like Micknick.
They're not going to let him. No. Hey, I could fix your
It's not going to be like the Green Mile. I can help you with those computer problems you get. Let me do your finances, too. So, I don't know.
It might be tempting. Don't think about it. In jail, you probably get terrible IT.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get the best people working, you know, IT in prisons.
No.
So here you're going to have these kids, you know, men in their 20s.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, we can get that guy in here. Yeah. It'd be tempting.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I mean, it's just coincidentally, I've been speaking to
Now I'm in trouble. Now I've ticked off the Bureau of Prisons IT department.
No.
That you happen to personally know, right?
I have spoken recently to the CIOs for the Department of Corrections for a couple of the states neighboring. And it turns out they're pretty well on the ball. Now there's there are some issues they're working with and dealing with, but they're centralizing their support and they're rebudgeting and managing to deal with those issues just like any other major organization is. You know, they're struggling with some of the issues that any governmental body does, which is how to manage your finance, making changes in the way that your money comes in and the way that it's paid out, and dealing with all that bureaucracy and red tape. But they're doing a good job. They're doing the best that
they
can.
Well, those are people I don't want to be angry at. I don't want them to be angry at me. Rather, my apologies go out to corrections departments, IT departments, and also Anonymous. Just any of you guys left out there.
Please don't.
Please. I'm really sorry, and I'm sorry your fellow members were jailed.
I'm with you, brothers. Fight the man. Fight the power. Yeah.
So what else was in the news?
Well, speaking of the Army and the FBI and all this other stuff, now this goes into the duh category was... So the Army comes out with a warning about geotagging and the dangers of geotagging. Geotagging, if you're not aware of it, is anytime you take a photo with a device that's got GPS capabilities, such as your iPhone, your iPad, your Android phone, you know, any of the
almost any fat phone.
Yeah, and many of the other devices that we have, if they don't geotag the photo when you're taking the picture, it geotags it when you load that photo into your computer. Well, it turns out that the Army had a rough lesson that they learned when they were taking photos of some new helicopters that they had just put onto the airstrip in some hot areas. Now, they don't mention exactly where these are. But there was a new fleet of helicopters, and the enemy in that area, because of the geotagging of the photos, which were made available on the Army's websites, allowed them to come in, mortar, and destroy several of the new fleet just because of that geotagging capability.
Oops.
Yeah, exactly. So it falls into the kind of the duh category. But so they've published an article calling attention to the fact.
It's ubiquitous technology now. I mean, there was just an incident. This is a bit off the track, sorry. And that's something new, of course. But this airline stewardess the other day had an episode. Apparently she was bipolar, had some sort of manic episode on the flight, and she was subdued by several passengers. But now there's all kinds of footage. Everybody, and then there's footage of other people taking pictures. You know, everybody's like...
Everybody's got their phone out recording
this. It was American Airlines, by the way.
God, I'm taking United Tuesday, so I'm glad to stay away from American.
But it delayed the flight like 2 hours. They had to switch out. They had to switch out crews, and there were two people injured and all that. But what struck me was that there were at least a dozen cameras recording this. Or cameras/phones or tablets.
We have created our own panopticon. You know, there was a lot of talk back in the 1800s with the creation of a panopticon. People wanted prisons to be created such that they were circular in nature, and you could have individuals at key points which would then be able to monitor the entire prison quite easily. And it was called a panopticon. And what has occurred now is that we have created our own panopticon. We have cameras everywhere. We have our own handheld devices, which then are shared instantly and immediately, and you're coming to a situation where there can be no expectation of privacy, no matter where you are. And particularly if you're out in a public environment, you have to make the assumption that if you're not on camera, if you do something funny, you're going to be on camera. and it's probably going to be your buddy taking pictures.
Have you ever seen Tosh.0 on Comedy
Central? Yes, I have. I can only watch about 3/4 of that show because there's always something that comes up on there that I'm just like, that's too much. I don't want to be thinking about this for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Well, also, when you get older, it makes you hurt. I mean, just... the other day, a guy tried to slide down an escalator. and just missed. I mean, and he was going forward down the escalator. He was going to like slide down the rails.
Oh, the rails.
And he just landed flat on his face.
No.
Oh, it was horrible. It was just, that's it. I turned it right off. But you're right. The cameras are everywhere.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And we do need to be aware. It's another one of these, word to the wise, warning to people is that you got to be aware. You know, even when you're not doing something like checking in on Facebook or, you know, tagged up in Foursquare and some of these other places, that, you know, even Twitter, you can choose to, you can choose to do geolocation with that and have that automatically. But any photo you take and you post that, and I have mine set that my photos, in a lot of cases go immediately into some Dropbox locations and places like that where I have access to them or into my Google Plus. Now I've set it so that I have to choose to make those public. But you have to go and be, intentional about that. You have to make sure that you've set it that way. If you're not intentional, then this, what does Facebook call it? Zuckerberg calls it, you know, friction-free sharing occurs. And all of a sudden, you know, stuff is, I love it. Friction free something. But, I don't know how we went from
an interesting turn of phrase
from porn hacking to friction free sharing, I'm gonna talk about one more thing. I want to pull us to a speaking of, since we're on this blue topic, we keep getting back to blue here today. I am gonna bring up that PayPal has put their,
that's your choice for the last thing
before we get us, PayPal has drawn
nothing else happened this week.
We're going to talk about iPad stuff afterwards.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We'll do the iPad afterwards, so you guys can wait for that. I know
PayPal.
PayPal. Then because we're in blue, we're on the blue side of the fence here. So PayPal, and you'll see the connection here. PayPal draws a line in the sand, taking a stance against people buying and selling erotic books with PayPal funds, and I just found this.
Wow.
Exactly was my reaction.
I'm going home. The rest of this show is yours. I'm just. What in the world? How did that happen?
They said that they've decided that they're just not going to allow those payments to occur. And they say now they claim that it's not to impose moral beliefs on others or restrict freedom of speech. It's to save them from possible unnamed legal trouble.
Liability.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they've got a point. I mean, but how, the printed word is generally not not involved in litigation.
For
pornography or for, you know, egregious offense of. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. There have been some very rare instances where that has occurred, particularly with rape related. Text when that line between fiction and fact is intentionally grayed. There was recently, I know there was a book that had come out that was, you know, basically how to be a pedophile, you know, and how to get away with it, how to kidnap and rape someone, and, you know, and all this. There was like these kind of, they were under the fiction heading, but they were really written and portrayed as how-to books from people that supposedly knew, you know, and this kind of thing. And that's a really dicey area, and I understand the concern about that. And they mentioned
They, because of the vast volume of books that they can't vet everything that's being transmitted,
but that harks to my complaint and my argument and my issue with this whole decision making process for PayPal is that's exactly right. They can't, and neither are they expected to. I'm not sure where they're expecting this legal issue to come from, and my belief is this is a thinly veiled attempt to justify somebody's moral basis and moral decision. And I can't say that I disagree with, you know, I don't like books about, you know, underage pornography books. They have those out that are written word, and those I believe are legal at this point. But you also have bestiality books and things like this. Now, I would not pick these up and want to read them. However, if they're legal, what right does PayPal have, or would American Express MasterCard have to tell me I cannot use my credit that they have given me, or my funds that I have deposited directly into my PayPal account, in order to purchase something which is a legal purchase in the environs that I'm using it.
Well, imagine you're on the board or in charge of PayPal, and at the board meeting, you know, these questionable materials are placed on everybody's desk, and they look at that. You almost have to do something about it, don't you? Yeah, I mean, once the issue comes up, once it's brought to the attention of governance, then maybe it's not moral. Maybe it's just, look, this is our. They go to the legal department and they say, this is our exposure from things like this. And
the legal department should respond, I'm sorry, but there is no exposure to things like this. It's very similar to me using my PayPal account or me using my Visa card to go and purchase a high-powered rifle. Now, if I use it for a nefarious activity, certainly I can be liable. Perhaps the person who sold me the gun could also be liable, and I believe even theoretically, you know, I know that there was a time when they were trying to sue the manufacturers of those weapons in all this. But if I have purchased it and purchased it legally and purchased it in good faith, or the people who sold it to me in good faith, I do not believe that there's any legal standing for suit against the person who has allowed that transaction to occur, which would be the credit card company. And PayPal's in that very same situation. If it gets to a point where that is an issue, I think that's an enormous, enormous problem.
Well, the other concern is, does PayPal do age verification?
And that I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
What's to stop somebody that's underage getting a hold of their parents' credit card and then... And then ordering inappropriate materials that way.
Well, that's just it. Does MasterCard do age verification?
I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a lot of problems with this issue. I am just such a free speech advocate. It pains me anytime I hear about that area getting muddy. Now, I believe that if this was, they were saying, we're going to take efforts to not allow you to purchase illegal texts, or texts that have been banned, or not allowing you to purchase, items that, making an effort to not allow alcohol to make its way to minors. You know, that would be different, because that would be supporting the law of the land. What this is doing is it's creating an externalized law of the land that they've decided that they're going to enforce for their own benefit, and basically abrogating the responsibility of the U.S. government. And taking it upon themselves, and I disagree with that. I just disagree with that.
I think you're a little too paranoid.
That's the first time I've heard you tell me that. Man,
I'd be interested to read more about what they have to say about it. But even no matter what kind of a statement they put out, who knows what the truth actually is? For why they made the decision.
That's why I just go to the library for all my porn. No credit cards, no records, no transactions. Nobody was watching me, man. Except for that librarian. Give me the stink eye.
On her iPhone, camera taking pictures of everybody.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, I am going to take us out for a minute when we come back.
Wow, spots.
I know, on time, too. When we come back, though, we're gonna bring on Jay Geek Trivia Garmin.
All right.
We're going to have a little bit of time with him, and then we'll do Cool Sights of the Week and a podcast-only song of the week. Dave has got a very special of the week for
it's
us.
It's not too. Really that It's only special because it's rare, because I never do it. But I can't wait for you guys to come back and listen to us.
You're listening to WRLR on 98.3. Don't forget, you can always tune in live at facebook.com/techtalkWRLR.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source for cable TV, they have shown themselves to be one of the most community-minded companies anywhere. They graciously have provided our studio facilities with cable TV services so that we may monitor nationwide news, and with CHSI high-speed internet service, so that we may stream our broadcast signal via the web to increase our coverage area to include a global audience. For more information on their basic cable, digital cable, or high-speed internet services, their website is www.comcast.com.
Do you enjoy the great outdoors? Then Bass Pro Shops in Gurnee Mills is your one stop for all your fishing, hunting, boating, and camping needs. But Bass Pro Shops is also your men's and women's apparel center with brand names like Columbia, Carhartt, Under Armour, North Face, Natural Reflections, and Redhead. Bass Pro is also your four-season outdoor store with all the gear you need to enjoy the great outdoors year-round. Bass Pro Shops, where your next outdoor adventure begins indoors.
The Antioch Public Library District provides material and services such as classical and contemporary movies, all genres of music, CDs, and video games. Antioch Library also has a computer lab, BrainFuse for live homework assistance, and a database of magazines to help residents with their recreational, educational, and professional needs. Antioch Library is located at 757 North Main Street in Antioch, Illinois, and is open Monday through Sunday. The phone number is 847-395-0874. The web address is apld.info.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh.
Boom, 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 chicka, chicka, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom, chicka, chicka, boom.
And we're back. We are back. Man, okay, well, you know what? I gotta make good on my promise. I got to give our good friend Jay Carmen a call. I should have had that,
let's,
you know,
hope he's
up
there.
You know, he said he would be. He's, like I said, we had to bring him in just a little bit late today, but that's okay. Gosh darn it.
We love Jay.
Here he is. Here he is.
Hopefully he's there.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
Well, we don't know if he's there yet. He hasn't answered. That's the big tension, the big dramatic tension of the show. Will Jay Garman pick up the phone?
Yeah, first, will the mics work?
Then, hello?
Oh, and he did! Yes, Dave. The tension is broken. Dave was just saying the only dramatic tension we really get in the show is, will Jay actually come on air and join us yet again? Or is he finally realized what he's getting himself in for each week?
Oh, I have some vague notion, but clearly I haven't done the complete math on this.
Yeah, the return on investment, you know, that tail might be a little bit longer than you you expected. So, but it's great to have you on, Jay. Until you do wise up, we're always happy to bring you around.
Delighted.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. And yeah, you let me know you were flying solo today, so you got a little bit of free time. Man, it's been an interesting week. I hope the weather is getting as nice down there as it is up here, so that you can enjoy that with the family too.
It absolutely is. Unfortunately, it's getting nice just in time for the time of year where I like to be inside watching basketball. So, you know, I get the extra guilt trips for, what do you mean you don't want to go to the park? You want to watch the Conference USA championship game? Like, it's March.
March Madness is coming up. Yeah, I take a yearly trip out to Vegas with my friends, and I am totally not a basketball guy. I've got to confess right up front. And we made the mistake, and apparently neither any of the guys that I go travel with, because we made the mistake of setting up our trip for the last week of March Madness, and I got to tell you, it was a mess. Because we were not into basketball, and everywhere was crowded. Anywhere that had a sports betting area was just a mob scene, and the whole place was just awful. So this year we've scheduled it specifically to go I think a couple of weeks after March Madness is done, so we'll get out there.
Slightly smarter this time around, yes.
Yeah, a little more, a little better planning. I think we're going to get better rates, too, our hotel. I remember we were all kind of complaining last year, too. I was like, gosh, why are they so expensive this year? What's going on? And then we got there and realized.
Nerds make this mistake so often. We would all know to not go to Atlanta on Labor Day weekend because it's Dragon God, you don't go to Atlanta on Liberty Weekend to get cheap hotel rooms, but it would never occur to us to go, to like not go if Atlanta had the Super Bowl. Like, it would never enter our minds.
Exactly. Now, the Super Bowl, I might notice. The Super Bowl, I might notice just because I do my fantasy football thing. So I'm into that, and that would tee me off. But basically, any other sport would never enter into my consciousness. Now, you though are not just an Uber geek for our stand, what we consider as a standard geek, but you are also a huge sports geek too, and just have a huge amount of information and knowledge about that end of things. And you were involved in a startup that was doing some sports information communication and things like that as well, social networking and all that.
Yeah, way back in the day, we started a company called Game Jabs, which was going to be like the stock twits for those of you that are stock nerds, which uses Twitter communication to sort of trade day trader information. We were going to do the guys who invested in stock twits came to me and a couple of buddies and said, "You guys should do that for sports." And we tried, but it was a really bad time to raise money in late 2008, early 2009. I don't know if you heard about some economic issues that were going on around then, but it really wasn't a good time to raise money for a software startup. So that only lasted a few months. It was a lot of fun though, but it didn't go that far.
yep. Yeah. There was a lot of. I think a lot of similar stories being told at that same time. It was a good idea, though. I liked the idea of it. It made sense to me, even though it wasn't something that I personally was going to be so interested in and taking advantage of. But good stuff. Now I know you. One thing that we haven't talked about here, I was waiting actually to bring you on because I know you're kind of a Mac guy. The iPad, of course. Came out. Did you order your iPad? The new iPad, I guess, is the name of it now. Have you ordered yours yet?
I have not, because A, I'm incredibly cheap, and B, I don't like tablets. And we used to have had a little of this conversation previously. If it doesn't have a keyboard, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I've got to have a keyboard.
It's funny. I was just having this conversation yesterday at lunch with some of my older members of the family, and in their 70s and things. And they were all very, very impressed with my wife's tablet, but having a very difficult time understanding what, if anything, you could possibly use it for. And they're barely at the stage where they're comfortable sending emails. And so I totally got it. Really, for you personally, you're right. There's just nothing you're going to do with it that you wouldn't want to use your computer with the bigger screen so you can see it easier, and your keyboard so you can type properly. It was a tough sell to say otherwise.
Do you guys realize how much in the minority you two are?
Totally.
Yeah. This is the single most explosive penetration into American homes of a consumer product ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you two are like, nah.
Well, I'll tell you why from my personal standpoint. Number one, I've got a phone. I love my phone. It's a smartphone. I can do the real basic, simple email work type stuff that I need to do with my phone already. Anything more than that, I'm with Jay. You know, I do a significant amount of writing for my job. Not as much as Jay does, but enough that I certainly would not want to be constrained to this tablet. Even with an add-on Bluetooth keyboard and so on, I believe I'd find myself hungering for a true business sort of machine and keyboard. Even with my laptop, I use a Bluetooth connection, Logitech connection, to have a real full-size functional keyboard that I use instead of the little chiclet keyboard that is on the laptop. And I see the tablets having an advantage if and when I'm traveling as an entertainment device. That really would be my primary usage for it. Everything else I do through my phone or on my regular laptop.
Well, and I understand the appeal of these devices. For Christmas, my mother-in-law got my father-in-law a Kindle Fire, and this is a guy who not only has never owned a computer. It's like I go over and hook up his like DVD player. Like, he is completely technically literate. Back before he retired, the office computer, because he used to sell brick, great salesman, smart guy, but he was not like, he was the last guy, and they insisted he still fill out his orders in paper and hand them in, because when he touched the computer order system, it broke every time. And he is now addicted to his Kindle Fire. Last weekend he was over here, because he's now also a sports fan, in New Orleans for the SEC championship game. Also, it's New Orleans. But any excuse, really. And he's like, I can't find a decent Kindle Fire case before I travel. Who are you? You wouldn't go near these things, and now you're like, I don't like anyone to have at Best Buy. I'm not good enough.
Oh, that's funny. Oh,
really? You know, he's surfing the net, and he's doing email. Like, my wife gets emails from him now. She's like, it's very strange for, like, when you're in your mid-30s, for the first time in your life, your 60-something father sends you emails now, and he's never done that before. It's about the age you're used to, like, acclimating to this behavior, but he's totally into it.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man. Well, you know, and when he starts sending you the emails saying things like, hey, Jay, you got to check out this new restaurant that I found on Yelp. Yeah. And I'll check in there the next time I go so you can find it. Yeah, then you know the end of the world is nigh, and December 2012 may actually have something to it. Man, and my mom is a big email sender herself, but she's definitely the laptop, and we've shown her my wife's tablet, and she's kind of with you and me on it. She's like, well, it's nice, but other than for watching movies, you know, if I'm going to be typing, I want my laptop and my keyboard. So,
well, and I will say that use case I still don't get. Like, I travel to Boston 3 days a month. Sometimes I'm riding the T, and there are people watching movies on their phones or their tablets on the T. I'm like, that has got to be a horror. Like, I've tried that. If it's more than 90 seconds long, I want to throw it against the wall. It's just a terrible experience watching video on these little screens. It's like being trapped on an airplane, and that little back of the seat screen is like, really? You want that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I agree with you on the phone, for the phone thing. I would not attempt to watch a movie on my phone. I think that would just be a horrible, horrible thing. But on the tablet, my wife's got a 10-inch tablet. Now, I don't know on the 7-inch, on the Kindle Fire, I think it'd be different. But on the 10-inch tablet, it's not too bad.
You hold it a lot closer to your face. So what are you guys forecasting? You guys are two, what would you call yourself, trendsetters, mavens in the technology field. What was that website that used to rate your influence?
Clout.
Okay, yeah. So you guys are rank high on clout, relatively speaking, in terms of people that listen to you and that sort of thing. What's your forecast for tablets? Is this just a fad? You know, they're you know, Apple's saying it's going to supplant the PC and the laptops and all this, and the numbers make a case for it. Of course, they're also forecasting another 4.4% increase in PC sales this year.
Yeah, I do believe that. I think there's a couple things that are going to happen. I think number one is, yeah, people are going to continue migrating towards these portable devices that are going to allow them to maintain a consistency of experience wherever they are. I know, like, my phone has a built-in thing. I don't have one, but I could do it where it's got a dock. You can plug it into a dock, and then all of a sudden it's a little mini computer, you know, and it'll work on a regular monitor and so on. And I know they have those for the iPads and things too. So I do think that things are going to continue moving that way, but I find it difficult to believe that we're going to find a better interface for input than what we've become used to, which is the keyboard and monitor for your regular day-to-day business and work. That doesn't mean that you're going to be doing it on a standard computer. You may be doing it with a tablet and get, you know, integrated more with that, but I don't know. What's your thought, Jay? Is do you think bring your own device is kind of a nowhere game, or is that gonna actually happen?
No, I think the tablet is going to be here to stay for a while. I think it is a fad. It was a fad in the sense of, like, cassette tapes, 8-tracks and CDs were a fad in the long-term media consumption timeline, meaning it's a phase you have to go through. I am on record multiple times as being a big believer in augmented reality when we start having contact lenses or glasses that can project things into our field of view, because as my old buddy at Bright Hand, Ed Hardy, used to say, Bright Hand's a big, you know, mobile phone review site. What everyone wants is a mini flip phone that fits in their pocket but has a 24-inch screen. And you can't, that's physically impossible unless you can bend the laws of time and space. But when you segregate your computing from your display device and you can project into your field of view, I think that's the big game changer. And we're probably 10 years away from that being anything close to mainstream, although Google's got some really interesting prototypes out there right now. So I think that once those hit the market, the whole notion of like what size screen is good for you is really going to start to go away. But in the interim, what I really see happening, and the cable companies are going to fight this tooth and nail, is to Mike's point, the input device is going to matter, but we're going to segregate input from display, and there's going to be consistency across screens. So what I see on my television versus my desktop versus my laptop versus my phone versus my tablet, those differences are going to break down. What I think the real boondoggle is are this notion of a mobile operating system, like an iOS or an Android, where there's some sort of fundamentally different computing experience for mobile devices versus desktop devices. Because as we see more and more and more, the only reason you really have a mobile operating system is to support weak processors and to create a different user experience for crappy input devices and small screens. So, you know, if you're using a touchscreen versus a keyboard, you have a completely different design paradigm, and I get that, but if we start separating screens from input devices where they don't come as a package, or I could have a Bluetooth keyboard and wander around my house and just sync it to whatever screen happens to be in the room I'm in, whether it's a 55-inch flat screen or my little, you know, 10-inch tablet screen, if that doesn't matter anymore, then I think the notion of there being different operating systems starts to go away, because it's just, you know, I've got my input device and all screens will be touch screens, or I'll have some sort of little trackpad, you know, with me that I can use as a touch screen, and that just goes away as a notion.
Yeah, it shifts the paradigm from device based computing to user based computing, where the form factors, the input methodology is based and designed around your personal preference, and wherever you go and whatever you walk up to, you've got that. It's because you yourself are the instigator of how that interaction is going to occur, and whether that's keyboards or whatever, I think it'll all come together.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's true in my house right now, actually, to a certain extent, because for my job, I do pretty much everything in Gmail and Google Docs and Google Calendar. So literally, of the four PCs in my house, I just use whatever one is in the room I'm in, log in, and start doing my work, and it makes no difference what machine I'm on, because I save virtually nothing locally. You know, the only infuriating thing to me, and since I've got Chrome on all the machines, even this is going away, is when the autocomplete doesn't remember the stuff that I'm used to it remembering on my main work computer. Like, oh, I gotta type the entire URL in because you don't remember that? Crap!
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I know. There's little frustrations like that. Hey, you know what? We are getting close to the time. I think Dave's trying to pull up his... Yep, there he goes again. He's got his tablet, which is also a nice alarm clock to warn me that we're running near the end. And I know I only gave people about a day or so to answer our last week's geek trivia question, because I forgot to get it up on the Facebook, facebook.com/TechTalkWRLR. I try to get those questions up there. This one was about the Pioneer plaque and a glaring mathematical issue that they had with it. I was very interested in hearing what this one was about.
Well, yeah, the Pioneer plaque is designed, although Stephen Hawking's ticked off about this, to help alien species that find it find Earth. And the way they do that is there's a pulsar map on this thing, which is actually a series of binary digit strings arranged in a pattern that show you that if you recognize those strings as the periods of certain pulsars, all the directions they're pointing from all point to the sun. So you only have to find 3 of the 14 at any point, recognize which pulsars they are, and you can backtrack to Earth. The problem is, it's based on 1970 understanding of pulsar periods. In one of them, they got the number wrong.
Ooh.
So the pulsar at the time was known as Pulsar 1240. It's now known, because we know a whole lot more pulsars, is J1243-6423. At that point, we thought, that just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
At the time, we thought it was a pulsar period of 0.388 seconds, or at least that's as accurate as we could get in terms of significant digits. So we converted that to a really, really long binary string that actually went to many more significant digits that we estimated. So we basically said, we know it to this much, but we want to make sure that we're giving them all in this level of depth with all the other pulsars, so we'll guess what the pulsar period is on that. And in the intervening 40 years, we figured out that that was not right. it's not horribly wrong, but it's wrong enough that now that we know there are other pulsars out there, that, like, if an alien tried to use that as their signal, they might not find us. So that's a little glitch in the pulsar map.
That's why they haven't come to visit yet. They're it's like those people that drive into the lake with the GPS. They're saying, you know, the sign says take a left at the third pulsar, and here we are in the middle of the Milky Way.
There's somebody hanging out at Proxima Centauri going, hello, we're here.
Oh, man. Yeah, and you're right. Of course, Hawking is probably very pleased that we did make these mistakes. Since he believes that anybody that does come a knocking is coming to take everything over and yeah, we're waiting for the BEMs to land. I think Hawking's heavily into that. So what should we be thinking about for next week?
Well, next Saturday is St. Patrick's Day, so I was going to do something a little St. Patrick's themed.
Oh, good.
If that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, that's great.
So in 1966, early in 1966, the U.S. Air Force lost a hydrogen bomb off the coast of Spain near Palomares. And the famous DSRV submersible Alvin found it on March 17th, 1966. That didn't recover it that day. It took a long time to bring it back up. But on St. Patrick's Day, 1966, the Alvin submersible found a hydrogen bomb off the coast of Spain that was looking for. And it made one man, consequently, very rich. It was literally his lucky day when they found that submersible. So the question is, who got extremely lucky because the U.S. Air Force recovered a hydrogen bomb on St. Patrick's Day in 1966?
Interesting.
Great question.
Yeah,
great question.
I have no idea.
Think that something like that would be fortuitous?
Yeah, well, I guess it was lucky for all of us, maybe. But, but
it was lucky for all of us, but it was financially lucky for one
yes.
person in particular.
Interesting. I have absolutely no idea. No idea. Man, well, that is great. You know what? I am going to pull us to a close here. Jay, thank you, as always, for joining us. And I know people can find tons more, not just Geek Trivia, but you're on a bunch of other podcasts and you've got a ton of stuff going on all the time. And people can hook into that at jgarman.net anytime they want to.
Absolutely. You guys have a good weekend and try to go enjoy this weather.
You too. Absolutely. Get outside at least a couple of times. Even if there is basketball playing. You know, if you had a tablet, you could just bring that with you. Oh, that's right. You don't go with the tablets.
You have a whole lot more confidence in cell phone video throughput than I do.
I just couldn't resist. All right, Jay. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Take it easy, fellas.
Yep.
Great job.
Bye.
Jay. Thank you.
Jay Garman.
Guy.
Man. Oh, great question, too. You know, and I wanted to mention, I thought.
You know, we should be on his show.
Yeah. I think we are. Honestly, it's just a matter of definition. You know, one thing I want to mention, too, I thought he was going to do a little trivia question, possibly about the fact that tomorrow is daylight savings time again. So just to remind people, don't forget, that's my public service announcement of the day, is it is daylight savings time tomorrow. And, of course, right now, a very special Tech Talk as Dave has got his own cool side of the week that he's going to tell us about.
Well, it's not that exciting, actually.
I'm excited.
it's unblock. Well, let's say, for instance, you're in China. And the Chinese government has certain websites blocked. What do you do?
They have many websites blocked.
Exactly. What if you're in Canada and there's a web service that you want to take advantage of in the U.S.? What do you do? What do you do? There's a website called unblock-us.com. And what you can do is for a small fee, they have a, you know, they have a trial of a week or so, but you can get IP addresses from the countries that from other countries that so that you can view restricted content in your country.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. So you can get around some of those the Great Firewall of China, and you can,
it's the first time I've heard that. That's great. Yeah.
I wish I could say I made that up. I don't believe that I did. Though. Yeah, that, it just sounds so good.
I doubt it personally.
Yeah. Thanks.
No,
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure.
No, I bet you did make it up.
No. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I didn't. it's just a nice, but no, that's cool. So that what was that again? That was
unblock
hyphen
us. Dot com.
Very cool. No, yeah. That's a great site, and particularly, you know, for those in countries, third world countries such as Canada and others that are that are intent on blocking, you know, our less free neighbors. That
I should argue against that, but I won't. Yeah.
We were just talking about Pioneer and the universe and getting the word out to aliens possibly to come to us. This is the coolest site I've seen about the universe in a long time. It's called Scale of the Universe. And you go to htwins.net. That's htwins.net and /scale2. And what it is, it's just this neat, there's this really soft, mellow music in the background, but it's a flash site where you can go and drill all the way down to Planck length and all the way out to the size of the known galaxy,
oh, very
the known
cool.
universe.
Very cool. I like that idea.
And at every stage along the way, there's information about the things that you see and the things that you can look at.
So from geology to astrology kind of thing?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. It's from quantum to macro to beyond. It's just a fun site to look at. Great for kids. Great for anybody, really, I think.
Yeah.
Neat thing to look at. Another one I want to give you just to mention that again, that was htwins.net. You'll find it in there. Another thing I want to mention, I don't know, are you into the whole South by Southwest, the music scene, indie music, and all that?
Well, sure. Well, at one time I was heavily into it, not so much these days.
They now, the South by Southwest has got a show that goes on, of course, every year. Sorry, I'm trying to bring up the cool site while I'm talking, and that never really works too well to me for me to multitask. So if you have the time to get down to Atlanta and go to South by Southwest, it's just fabulous. There's all sorts of great new artists. There's things going on and all that. But who among us has the time and money and everything else? If you're not like 20, and can take time off from college to go down there, it's pretty tough for any of the rest of us, even if we are interested in that music, to get down there. Well, you can find a lot of the music online for free, but if you want to just be able to listen to it wherever you are and have somebody else kind of curate that for you, Jelly Radio, J-E-L-L-I Radio, has got a website where you can listen to streaming South by Southwest artists, and it also, too, has a mobile connection. So I've got it on my Android. I was listening to it on the way in fact, this morning. So Jelly Radio, jelly.com, go there, J-E-L-L-I.com. Very cool stuff, if you're into that that thing. They also do their...
Even if you're not, check it out and see what you... You know, a lot people don't realize how many mainstream bands have come out of the indie scene, actually.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's really a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff on there. And it's more than just South by Southwest. I'm touting it as a connection to that because there's not a lot of connections direct to South by Southwest. But you can also get they're very much like a traditional radio type of environment, less so than a Pandora, where they curate and produce radio broadcasts that are done on air, in fact, in various locations around the U.S. There's an FM station in Vegas that plays their stuff. And the neat thing is that you can vote for songs to be promoted. You can rocket songs to the top of the playlist, and that'll mean they're the very next song played. Or you can bomb a song and say, I don't want it played in my playlist right now. And this is not just your playlist, it's shared by everyone. It's truly a social playlist. So it's kind of a neat concept, is that it's a popularity driven playlist that is broadcast to everyone on air. It's kind of like you could call in and request a song. Well, here you can vote these songs up.
Cool.
So it's neat. It's a neat concept. Dave is pointing to the clock. I've got more for you, but we'll hold off on them until next week.
Thanks for listening to WRLR, Round Lake Heights.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to leave you with the podcast only song of the week. Speaking of some of those indie bands that were coming out of South by Southwest, Cage the Elephant is one of those that came out of there. I love this new song. There's Always Something. It's not new, I should say. It's new to me. Always Something. And we'll leave you with that. Come back and listen to us next week. Thanks for listening to us this week. As always, take care. Have a great weekend.
Love you guys. See you next time. Bye.
Myself looking in the mirror.